Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
You're listening to the financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'm Kerry Lutz on 1490 WGCH. And it's often said, you can't know where you're going unless you figure out where you've been. That's why Mickey Fulp's on now to do our monthly market review. We're a couple days late due to my travel schedule, but better late than never. Mickey, how are you?
I'm doing well. And yeah, we should probably apologize to our listeners. Between your travel schedule and my travel schedule, and my research assistant was a couple of days late with the data, getting us our data, and then you had some bad internet connections in the Bahamas. Meanwhile, I was depressed because I didn't see the sun in Vancouver for 3 weeks. So 12 days late, we're ready to go with our monthly review.
Hey, well, better late than never, right?
Absolutely.
So it looks like in January the stock market was the place to be. The Dow, the S&P, to a lesser extent the Nasdaq, the Russell. What, tell us what happened.
Well, they all hit plus 5-year highs. I didn't even bother to go back past 5 years because certainly in the case of some of these indexes, it's all of a sudden, equities are the place to be. There's a question whether that is institutional and big money and whether the retail investor is participating. But suffice it to say, plus your 5-year highs on all those indices. The Toronto Exchange was only up 2% on the month because it's very materials resource driven. The venture has been flat since the bounce after tax loss selling. So it's closed within a point of in the last 3 months. So from that point of view, nothing much going on junior sector. The emerging market index kind of lagged behind, but it has been on a very nice uptick since May. It was up a little bit more than 1% over the month.
Yeah, not too shabby. And, you know, I hated that term risk on, risk off, you know, but I just happened to have bumped into a money manager. Actually, it was in the beginning of January, and I said to him, Joe, are we risk on or we risk off? And he said, oh, no, we're risk on now. So at that point, I realized they're all just like buffalo heading off the edge of the cliff. They're all just a herd, and I realized that probably in January, the market was heading up, and he didn't disappoint because we're back to risk on, but nobody's calling it that anymore. I guess we're on to a new meme for the new year.
I suppose so, and certainly the big money, and that is the important money, seems to think so.
Yep, and they're not the ones that just follow the headlines or know the information. They create the headlines, and that's what you always have to remember when you're investing. Now we move on to the metals. Gold is like a little bit off, huh? But a little bit of action in the others, huh?
Well, yeah, gold continues to muck around in that range-bound, 1,600, a little bit more than 1,700 level. The fundamentals of gold do not look particularly strong right now from a supply-demand view, but it's basically driven by devaluing fiat currencies, and so I expect it to be range-bound for a while longer. Silver was up almost 4% over the month. That was a nice little gain. The big winner, of course, was platinum.
Hey, did we nail that? I'll pat us on the back because we talked about this when platinum was at 1,500, and then platinum went down to 1,400. I think 1,398, if memory serves me correct, was the low point. And we said, screaming buy. We don't know what's going to happen, but this cannot last. It never lasts post-World War II when platinum dips below gold. It's going to change. Now it looks like they're getting back to the ratio.
Well, it is. The ratio's over one. It's been over one for nearly a month now. The supply-demand fundamentals of platinum and palladium are compelling right now, with severe supply disruptions, which could become supply destruction in South Africa. It's come out and has been confirmed by the Russians that the Norilsk stockpile of palladium is done. There will be 0 to 3 tons of platinum exported this year, compared to well over, 30 tons a couple of years ago. So with the auto makers enjoying some very nice sales data over the fourth quarter and into January, the demand for platinum palladium is going to continue, and the supply is just not there. So if we're going to make a prediction this year, I would say that platinum, palladium are metals that are going to increase in dollar value. I feel fortunate that I bought my last round of platinum somewhere around a year and a half ago at $1,500 an ounce. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, and we knew it was going to happen. It was never in doubt. One thing, I've got this group of people in the land down under in Australia that listen to the show. They like you a lot, Mickey. And they asked me, you know, it seems to us the profit potential in platinum and palladium is much greater. What's the best way to play it? And my personal feeling is you don't want to go buying platinum, physical platinum and palladium. Perhaps the ETF that covers platinum is the way. I don't know. What's your thought there? Stocks, perhaps?
Well, I'm going to put the ixnay on stocks because I can't find a good platinum or palladium near-term producer or current miner. You know, that's part of the problem, is the average cost per ounce of producing platinum is about at the level where it's trading at right now. 60% of South African platinum production is produced at break-even or a loss. And I'm not a big ETF guy for the retail investor, so for me it's physical metal.
Which is problematical, though. Isn't it problematical with this? I mean, I guess you can buy it Canadian platinum maple leaves, and they have palladium maple leaves as well.
Well, yes, they do. I mean, there's a variety of ways to buy platinum. And I haven't really looked at it because the price it's at right now does not intrigue me to buy, because I bought it cheaper. You know, I have some platinum now, and I'm happy with what I have. But I do think the price is going higher. You know, let me put that question on the shelf, and I'll get back to you with some more information about physical platinum and palladium and buying them. At times, there can be severe shortages, and in the bullion market, that was the case a couple of years ago. But I'm not really sure what's going on right now.
All right. Hey, and we're looking at the ratios. Ratios are looking silver to gold, 53-1, and the platinum gold is right at 1, like you said, and platinum to palladium 2.3, which pretty steady, you know, which means they're kind of moving up together. And then,
I actually, if I was going to be more bullish on one metal over the other, I think it would probably be palladium right now, because it is used so much in auto demand that the fact that we've had this supply disruption in South Africa, and the fact that the Russians aren't going to export any more palladium, I find palladium be probably the metal of choice right now, if you can find a way to buy it in physical bullion.
Yeah, that makes sense. And finally, Dr. Copper, just kind of range bound like gold, a lot of it, right? I mean, it went up a little bit. It's just going nowhere.
Well, it is, but I think everybody's happy with it. I don't see any problem with it going nowhere. There's been some recent calls that it's going to go over $4 a pound. if that happens commonly, then the Chinese start dumping some copper, some of their warehouse stocks on the market, some of their unofficial reserves. But it was up 3% over the month, and that's really driven by very good PMI data in China. And the fact that the U.S. looks like the economy is recovering, the automakers are doing quite well. Housing business is starting to recover somewhat. So all in all, I remain a copper bull.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. And now we go on to the energy group and another interesting chart going on there.
Yeah, both WTI and Brent made very nice gains over the month. Brent up about 5%, WTI up about 7%. We're seeing some of the bottleneck and infrastructure in the South Central U.S. starting to abate somewhat. The oils are up nicely since highs reached again for the first time since about, going back to April of last year, I guess.
Yeah.
When April of last year since they were this high. So curious, though, is Henry Hub Gas lost 2.6%. And this is, it's going down in the high demand season. We haven't had the weather in the Northeast and the upper tier of the Midwest, which oftentimes controls wintertime gas prices, has been a mixed bag this year, and so gas is still mucking around too.
Yeah, well, we've had some nasty weather there recently, and we'll see. But yeah, I think, you know, there's the ramp up coming into winter where all the tanks get filled and inventories were at a record level this winter, and the drawdown phase, which we're still going through. And I guess a lot of it's going to depend on what happens in March and April in the Northeast. If it's cold, really cold, they'll draw down enough that it might just support the price. But I wouldn't count on it because there's just too much natural gas around is what it comes down to in the final analysis, you know?
Yes, in North America, that's true.
Yep, in North America, certainly not the rest of the world, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with infrastructure build-outs and other fracking in England and in Australia and other places. And then we get to uranium, which the past 2 months is looking up a little bit.
It has. It looks to me like it's at least the spot price has settled into to somewhat of a range, let's say $42 to $45. The spot demand right now is low. It's been kind of an uneventful market, and I see nothing on the horizon right now that's going to change that in short term.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, supply prices gotten down to the point where how much lower can they get? So, and then finally, we get to the currencies, and, you know, just euro is the story of the month, I guess. It kind of broke out of its range for the first time in the past 12 months. It broke past 133. And
yep,
here we are.
Yeah, it closed at 1.36 to the dollar, up almost 3%. It seems the markets have nothing to worry about right now. So the dollar's been a little weaker. The euro's been a little stronger. The markets, the equities markets are in record territory, or at least for the last 5 years. Looks to me like we're about due for a correction, Kerry.
Yeah, everybody's getting too complacent. And if it's one contrarian indicator that almost never fails, and I don't really see anybody measuring this, but I would call it the complacency index. The more calm and cool and relaxed you get, the more likely there is for something to happen that you're totally not expecting. And then, you know, all of a sudden, the risk-off trade will be back again.
Yes, that's what's going to happen. We don't know when the correction will come, but it looks like we're ready for a correction in the equities markets to me.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing going against it, though, is is unfettered dollar creation by the Fed. I mean, there's just no end in sight to the wanton manufacture of fiat currencies. I mean, it's the one thing we still seem to be able to produce better than anyone else in the rest of the world is more currency units.
Well, as long as we're the world's reserve currency, I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah, well, our trading partners,
I'll leave it at that.
Our trading partners, though, you know, you got to wonder about how much longer they're going to put up with it, but I guess they don't have any choice right now. So we'll see what happens in the future. In the meantime, you want more information, mercenarygeologist.com, mercenarygeologist.fm, and what's the Asian one? I can never remember that, Mickey.
Well, I would guess it would probably be mercenarygeologist.asia. So, and at mercenarygeo is the Twitter handle, and we are well above 26,000 Twitter followers now.
Hey, you got more than me. I think I'm about 14,000. But anyway, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We got the links to Mickey's sites there. And, God, I mean, I can't believe how many articles we aggregated in the past month. I think we hit over 1,000. And I don't know about you, but our traffic volume is at records, downloads. I mean, I can't even keep up with the email. But till next month, we will talk with you then, and we'll see when that dreaded correction is gonna strike out of nowhere, right?
Well, it'll probably come when we least expect it, and let's make a pact right now that we are going to speak on March the 1st, Friday, March the 1st, because I'm on my way to PDAC after that, and I'm not going to be doing any remote interviews during that period of time.
All right. So I am putting you down in the book, March 1st, monthly review. Make sure your assistant gets that spreadsheet done, or as much as he can, and I will talk to you then.
Okay. Look forward to it, Kerry.
All right. You be well.